psalmist often spoke of God and his relationship to his people in the earth. And often he was inspired to write because of the beauty of the earth that he had been called to worship by just that. Listen to these words. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. It has been our pleasure for several years now to welcome a representative from a Christian ministry in the national parks. In previous years, Mr. Warren Oast, who is the director of that ministry, sponsored by the National Council of Churches, has come to our campus and has indeed recruited a number of our students through the years to participate in this ministry during the summers and on occasion for a year's intern program. It's our pleasure this year to welcome the assistant director of a Christian ministry in the national parks, Mr. John Wrench. Mr. Wrench is a native of Texas, a graduate of Texas Christian University, and earned his degree at Bright Divinity School in Fort Worth. He has served as the pastor of rural churches and also has participated in inner city ministries and parish life. In 1964, he came from the Church of the Sequoias, which is one of the oldest of the national park ministries in the United States, to serve as the assistant to the director of a Christian ministry in the national parks. Mr. Wrench will be on our campus today and has several interviews arranged with students who are interested in this ministry. He will be available throughout the day, and if you are interested in talking with him about the possibilities of worship and work combined in a creative ministry in a national park, he will welcome your visit through the fieldwork office. I noticed on the brochure, which was sent to us to let the students know about his coming, underneath the beautiful picture, taken from a scene in a national park with the words printed, "Behold his works." In the poem "God Who Toucheth Earth with Beauty" by Mary S. Edgar, one discovers, I think, an attempt to relate inspiration from the beauty of the world to the desire for and the prayer for the same Christian virtues which one learns from beauty in the life of the individual. I'd like to share with you this morning, since Harold Lauder has put these words to music, these words as our prayer. Will you bow your heads, please, and close your eyes and make this your prayer?
I'd like to thank you for the welcome we've received here in the past, and especially today. It was a real cool, crisp morning that morning in July, and four young people who had come from all corners of the country climbed happily into a small automobile and headed down south, from Old Faithful Lodge into the Grand Teton National Park. Their goal? To climb the Grand. They had been practicing, they had been taking the lessons from the very beginning of the summer, and now their goal was in sight. They had their ropes and their picks, and they were eager to climb the Grand Teton and behold the very glory of God. They were four, and they started up, but before they reached the top, as they looked out across the valleys and the other mountains, the first one in the line felt a sudden tug. The others grabbed for their rope belts, and one man fell to his death. It was a cool evening as they went back to the lodge. For there, in the very glory of God, the very glory of his creation, man had suffered. This is only one example of what has occurred in some of the most beautiful places of our land. The very glory of God, we can find the very suffering of man. And it is to these people that a group of seminarians and college students each summer go to minister. People made up of all kinds, who represent all types of religious faith, who come from every corner of not only our nation, but of our globe. People who are in search of a goal, or who are hiding from something in the past. People like a waitress. A waitress who is close to 65 years old, who at one time was a concert singer, who had sung before the crowned heads of Europe. And now, because of misfortune, she was a waitress, a bitter woman, who looked upon her past as something that could have been glorious, but who had left her penniless and a waitress in a park resort. The only thing this woman had looked forward to every day, she told me, was the smile of the student minister, the glad hand, the encouraging words, that the next day would not be as rough as today. Then there was the printer, a man who would take infinite patience in lining up the poster work that you brought in for him each day, setting the type, and then sitting back as the presses begin to roll and picking up his violin, would play for you some of the most delightful classical music from the violin you have ever heard. And why was he in the park? Well, he once loved a woman, and she had given him children through their marriage. But something had developed in their relationship which led away from love and into hatred. And now he had run away to avoid supporting her. He also found himself guilty of not supporting his children. And the violin helped him to forget. Then, of course, the many college students that are there, and most of us can remember our college days, especially if we went away from our hometown. At first, we were eager to make a good impression upon our college classmates. And then it came as we began to know each other and live with each other for year after year, possibly with a future of 4 or 5 years there. They became as well known as the people whom we had left back at home. And there was no real opportunity to get to know and do the things that we'd heard all of our life we should not do. So in the Park Resort, we find the college student, within the very glory of God, seeking out opportunities to do the things he'd often heard he should not do. So to speak, throwing out his inhibitions. And there was a rap on the flap of the tent, a tugging and a holler. Joe, are you there? And Joe, the student minister, climbs out of the sack in the middle of the night. And opening his flap of the tent, he looked into the eye of a young man whom he had seen casually as he would go through the cafeteria line or wash the dishes of some of the employees who came through. And the boy said, I must talk with you. You are the only one who we can turn to. And the student rubbed his eyes and wondering, well, what is going on here in the middle of the night that this boy must come to me? And he took him down to the lakefront where there was a small shelter built out of the wood of the pine and the needles. And there was a girl. They had fallen in love during the summer, and she was pregnant. It wasn't, they said, just a summer affair, but they were really in love, and they wanted his help. Within the very midst of the glory of God, the suffering of mankind. And it is to these people that the seminary students and the college students who participate in a Christian ministry in the national park will minister. A ranger ran in suddenly into the snack bar where a young man worked who was from a seminary in the southeast. He said, I know that we can trust you to handle a very delicate situation for us. You see, Jack, there's been an accident down by the falls. A child has fallen over the rail and has been washed away. Will you come and help the people, her parents? For they have asked for our minister. In the very midst of the glory of God, the suffering of man. And the opportunities for worship and service to mankind in some of the most beautiful places of our land are available, whether we see them at first or not when we pass through on vacation. But this is only a part of the great ministry to people who are involved in recreational activity. It is only a part of the answer the church has given to those involved in leisure recreation. You know, the history of the church goes way back with its involvement in people's leisure activities. The church, beginning of our own nation, was the focal point for social activity. The church supper, the church picnic, the all-day camp meeting, the week camp meeting, gave opportunities for the farmers and the city people to get together and to enjoy one another in recreation and in worship. But then there has come a time in our development when man began to build great shrines for worship and then moved out to the countryside for his recreation and left the church with its doors wide open but empty on Sunday. Attempting to meet this need, a Christian ministry in the national parks developed with ministries in national recreation areas. Within the past few years, local churches have developed ministries on the lake fronts. They have developed ministries on the ski slopes. They've gone to the ocean shore and developed opportunity for worship and service for those who would not come into the service at 11 o'clock on Sunday. The opportunities are there, as well as they are in the church parish situation. Because you see, the only thing we have done is to transplant our parishes into recreational areas with the increase of time and money to be spent. The recreational business and the tourism business of our land will gross $3 billion or more each year. And it is climbing. I don't know how many of you travel during the summer, but I'm sure you have been able to see the great increase in automobile travel on the highways of our land. And the church is in need of going with these people, of letting them know that the church is there, of being concerned, of being involved. This is a part of the ministry in national parks, of providing a Christian presence where people are, of providing the opportunity for those who have a faith or an understanding of what the church is to seek it out. There will be those who will attend the service of worship in a national park setting who would not darken the door of a church at home. They come out of curiosity. They come because there is a feeling of a need to worship within the very glory of God. There were 4 students, and 3 returned. But it was another cool, crisp morning in August, and a group left the lodge and canyon village of Yellowstone and moved south into the Grand Teton Park. There were 12 in this group. There was a ranger naturalist who was to be the leader, and the others were to follow. And they were not going to climb the largest mountain, but only one of the smaller mountains in the mountainous area of the Tetons. And as they began, the student minister said, "Let us pause and pray for guidance and strength to reach our goal." The ranger naturalist was agnostic, and he stood aside and watched the other students lower their head. And to him, this was foolishness. But they started their climb, and out of the 12, only 3 succeeded. The ranger naturalist, the student minister, and the choir director for a Christian ministry in the national park. And when they reached their goal at the very tip-top of Tiwanaku, they looked out across the very glory of God, and the student minister and the choir director bowed their heads and sang the doxology. And this time, the ranger agnostic bowed his head in prayer. For never in his entire career with the Park Service, with his knowledge of previous park staffs, had he met two people with greater faith, that here they could bow their heads and sing doxologies to their Lord. I understand that he has never been the same since. An opportunity to witness to those in leisure recreation by providing a Christian presence where people are is the goal and the object of a Christian ministry in the national forests. Within the very glory of God, we find the suffering of man. May the grace of God, the love of Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forever.